So Isaiah's reading will be on 1157, and we are reading from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the first four verses, and then we skip to verse 8. Hear from this prophet of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil takes up the sprout, makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. And our reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica is on page 1841, and it is in the fifth chapter. It is verses 16 to 24. Hear now what Paul instructs the church. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John. We were talking the last couple weeks about how this is lectionary year B, and we're reading from Mark, and yet we note that John doesn't get a year. There's three lectionary years, and the first three gospels are each assigned a year, and John just kind of gets pieced in around. And so that's what we're doing here. We're picking up in the first chapter at verse 6 and continuing the theme that Mark had last week about John the baptizer in the wilderness. This is what the gospel according to John says. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees had been sent, questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." All this happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like to do Bible studies, and it's really tempting to spend all of my sermons lecturing on Bible history and literature and all that, but I try to refrain. This Advent season, I've challenged myself with the task of preaching on the words that our Advent candles represent. Because every year we have a different lectionary reading, which we hear again in 3 years, but every year, no matter what the lectionary is, the first Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of peace, the second Sunday of Advent is hope, the third is joy, and the fourth is love. I love our new banners to remind us as we keep adding them. And so today I'm talking about joy. What it is, when you experience it, how do you define joy? It's got a whole bunch of different emotions and feelings that it kind of gets labeled on. They're probably all similar. Happiness, excitement, feeling good, having an energy, feeling blessed, feeling like things are looking up. Kind of melds there in between love and hope, doesn't it? What gives you joy? Excitement? I'm not a roller coaster rider, but my friends and family who are say that there's this moment, especially on the really big ones, when you're going up and up and up and up and up and up. And just as you go right over the top where it kind of catches your breath and you anticipate the fun going down, you know, that's where that moment is for them. That's why they stand in line forever, it seems like, to do that ride on the roller coaster. I stayed up a little bit later than usual on Thursday night because, lo and behold, through the blessings of television and the change in the NFL schedule where they started showing games on Thursday night, the Broncos got to play, and it was on TV here in Wisconsin. And it wasn't so good the first half, but boy, I was so glad I stayed through as a fan. Oh my gosh, it was worth staying up late for. I may not be particular fans of Brock Osweiler, but I am of the Broncos, and they won. Of course, they were playing Indianapolis, who'd already lost 11 games in the season, so it was probably not a real difficult win, but it was a much-needed win for us fans to keep our spirits alive. And so there was great joy in my den in front of the TV that was worth it when it was hard to get up the next morning when the alarm went off. I experienced joy this time of year. We just put the tree up and got the lights on, and my favorite Christmas thing to do since I was a little kid was get up before everyone else while it's still dark. I have just the lights for the tree on. Spend time in prayer and thought and reflection and quiet. And I still do that. It's a joy to just be in that moment, to have no expectations yet. The day or of myself. How many fingers and toes do you have? Can you count the numbers of times in the last few days where you've experienced joy? There is a pair of cardinals that come every morning. We have a heated bird bath on the railing of our front porch, and it's right within the safety zone, so they won't hit the window. And it's close enough to get plugged into the electricity to stay heated. They come just when there's enough lightning of the sky that you can tell shapes in the darkness. It's nowhere near sunrise, but they come. The male always stands guard while the female gets to drink her fill. And then when she's done, she kind of hops over on the railing and tries to decide what's going to be for breakfast. And then he gets to drink. He always drinks a lot more than she does. That or he's slower at it, I'm not sure. Maybe he's taking joy in scooping it up and feeling the cool water go down his throat. It's just a few minutes, and they leave. So in my quiet coffee time, that's become a ritual. The cardinals and I get to spend time. I don't move, because if I do, they leave. My husband was so helpful, and I love it. He put up the wreath on the front door, and the next morning the cardinals didn't come, and the next morning after that the cardinals didn't come. So I was starting to get a little worried, you know, because of course it's my responsibility to take care of the universe, right? And I noticed the wreath on the front door got spruced up this year, and it included two feathered, fake, but really real-looking male cardinals. And I said, oh, I love what you did. They're territorial. Do you think maybe you scared the real ones away? He says, I don't know. I don't know anything about cardinals. And I said, well, remember when we had the parakeets and they were like trying to kill themselves against the window to get rid of the parakeets? I said, they're kind of territorial. And he said, okay. So I noticed that the next morning, the fake cardinals were inside our house where they couldn't be seen, and the real cardinals were back. And so I experienced joy Friday morning when the cardinals were back at the water. Our neighbors moved in this last spring. They have a blessed new addition to their family, little Molly. I remember meeting little Molly when she was just home. How tiny. What joy, remember? You know? Remember the last time you held a newborn? Things that give us joy. Maybe it's because it's excitement. Maybe it's because of anticipation. Maybe it's because of the awesome beauty of something that takes our breath away that we have no control over. Now that the sun is setting around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we get to see sunsets a little more, yeah? Or because the sun's setting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we get to see the stars earlier. It was probably a satellite, I was informed, but I went out in the evening, and the stars were beautiful, and the Milky Way was gorgeous, and I was humbled to be part of creation that vast. And all of a sudden, there was a shooting star. Okay, maybe it was a satellite or space junk. I like the idea that it was a shooting star. Brought me joy. You got 20 yet? Moments of joy. Moments of joy. God loves us so much that God created us to have the capacity to experience joy. God wants us to know joy. But God experiences joy when God encounters us. In the beginning, God created, and everything that God created, God declared good. When we think something's good, we take joy in it. God loves the relationship that we have with God so much that when that relationship starts getting strained or distant, or there's problems in it, God reaches out to us to reestablish that relationship. Through prophets who invite us to repent, to turn around, to prepare a way, to reconnect. Through the gift of God's own Son, that we might know more clearly God, God's desires, God's hope, God's peace. To know that God's joy is in us. who we are, what we do. That there are moments in our lives that the things that we do take God's breath away. Maybe looking at it that way might change the way we see ourselves and our day. As we go through the day, thinking, am I doing something right now that's bringing God joy? Maybe it'll change what we're doing. Maybe it'll encourage us to keep doing it. Did what I just say to that person bring God joy? Are my thoughts and my focus and my growing relationship with God, is that bringing God joy? God invites us not only to experience joy, but to experience joy in relationship with God and to see that we are God's delight. The prayer that Betty just said in lighting the Advent candle ends with this line. Help us to be filled with your joy so that we may share it with a joyless world. Wow. Powerful ministry we've been invited into, isn't it? To not only receive joy as beloved creatures of our Creator, but to recognize that our Creator's joy is in us and that we have opportunities to share it, to be a conduit, to bless others as we have so been blessed. May we find this to be true today and in every day of our lives. Amen.